Transportation Department with the pilot trainers and the maintenance. You had to train the pilots and the maintenance crew how to fly, use, fire the weapons, acquire the targets. And so I worked in the simulation department, and I had the opportunity to brief a Pentagon procurement general because, the first delivery of 60 Apaches was, the Pentagon was threatening to delay or cancel the first order. And so a few of the guys working on the project, there were some women on the project too, but a few of the guys working on the project had the opportunity to brief this procurement general, and I got to do that. So when the Apaches went in first to Baghdad and blew the living daylights out of their air defense system, it just felt good. You know, it was neat. So we had 12 aircraft out of about 100 planes that joined in on the attack on Iraq, actually 2 days ago now. 12 of them dropped precision-guided bombs, and the rest were all support aircraft. There were fighter jets going along to protect the bombers, and there were refueling planes and AWACS reconnaissance planes. So things are heating up in Iraq, and it turns out that basically the debate on Iraq is between the liberals who have no love for the Iraqi people and conservatives who'd like to see the Iraqis liberated the way the people in Afghanistan were liberated. So maybe liberals who either are completely apathetic toward the plight of Afghanistan people living under tyranny care nothing for liberating them, or conservatives who say, hey, if you have an evil government and you have cause, well, then you could take the opportunity, if you'd like, to liberate the people from that evil government. The problem is, normally, we don't know how to install a good government, so that is a problem, granted. But if you have an evil tyrant leading a country, you don't just if you have the opportunity and the justifiable occasion to remove him, to destroy him, you don't say, we're going to let the murderer stay in office because who knows who will replace him. That's not a good principle to work on. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In New Orleans, Louisiana, Grant, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? This is Grant Storms.
Grant Storms, talk show host from WSHO Radio.
Yes, yes.
And Grant, you're also a pastor in New Orleans.
Right. And I also head up a group called Christian Conservatives for Reform. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share a little bit of what we've been doing down here in regards to the Southern Decadence.
Yeah. Southern Decadence. That's a colorful way of putting it. And, hey, Grant, I want to let you know it's an honor to have you call into the show.
Well, good. And it's an honor to be on your show, Bob. And it's been a while since we've talked. And,
yeah.
And I know that you've been on my program, and you've been into New Orleans a few times. And you've been in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
And you know how, you know, the French Quarter is it can be a nice place.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened here, Bob, is that the...
I think it could be a nice place in the daytime.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And but
with that,
and it
with
could
the
be
jazz,
nice...
you sit in a corner and you're drinking some New Orleans coffee and listening to a jazz band live right in front of you. That could be pretty neat.
Right. But anyway, here's what's going on. Are you aware of what Southern Decadence is all about?
No.
Okay, Southern Decadence has grown over the last... 31 years, and in particular the last 6 years, where 100,000 sodomites come into the city.
Mm.
And what they do is they do lewd acts in the streets.
Right, in public.
Right, and the police...
And the city of New Orleans condones this.
Right, bless it. So we said, enough is enough. We're going to do something about it.
Mm.
Last Sunday night, I went in... last Friday and Sunday night, I went in with a video camera, and I videotaped lewd, dancers dancing on tables in gay barrooms from the street, from the public street, which is illegal.
Right.
I videotaped a screen in the gay bar that was playing triple X-rated homosexual pornography. I videotaped it from the street. That's illegal. The doors are open.
From the street. In other words, and also, sadly, children, I'm sure, could see this stuff also.
Anybody that walked the public streets.
So not only should it should be criminal just de facto. It should be criminal even if it's in a private business behind closed doors.
Exactly.
But they do it so that it's seen, it could be seen by the public.
Right. So then I started to videotape. On Bourbon Street, I videotaped a man giving oral sex to two men at the same time.
Oh, no.
I videotaped in the middle of the Bourbon Street.
This is New Orleans.
Yes, I videotaped a man masturbating each other.
Let me understand. The city of New Orleans, the mayor of New Orleans, allows this behavior to happen in public.
The mayor, the city council members, the police department. And more sadly, Bob, the church.
Yeah, the church.
Yeah.
The church, so, really, as long as the collection plate is reasonably, you know, it's got a reasonable amount of weight to it after it's passed around, well, then that's fine. We don't really have to confront what's going on in society.
Well, the fact is that they don't want to come out in the heat, they don't want to come out.
Well, Pastor Grant Storms, could you hold on a moment?
Sure.
Hey, this is a live commercial break, and you are listening to listener-supported radio. Bob and Yurt Live, airing in a handful of cities around the country, and we hope growing into new markets eventually. We hope that would be really neat because our passion is to reach as many people as we can with the principles that you find in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a pretty neat book, claims to be the Word of God. Is it or is it not? Well, the Bible says faith is evidence. So you look at the evidence, and I find the evidence compelling that the Bible is the Word of God. So we've put together videotapes, audio albums, manuscripts, teaching through the Bible. Mount Moriah, the videotape, 2 hours of the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is not true. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is a lie. It's false. So did he? What does the evidence show? Wow, we have a 2-hour video. Now, if you are not a Christian, call us up, 1-888-836-9278, and we'll send you the video for free if you're not a Christian. If you are, we charge $24.95, and you might enjoy it. Could just encourage you with all the evidence for the resurrection. It's overwhelming how much evidence there is why it is that we believe that Christ rose from the dead. We don't just believe it by blind faith. The Bible says evidence. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. And the evidence, there's a mountain of evidence that Christ rose from the dead. And you could share this video with your friends. So call 1-888-836-9278. Now, for those listening on the internet, hey, the KGov website saga is continuing, and according to our hosting company, Interland, we had a hacker on the site 4 days ago who scrambled everything and wiped out 11 gigabytes of data. So if you notice, we've got the site back up, and we only have the archives from this week. That's it. But we FedExed to Interland. I think they're in Georgia. Wherever they are, it doesn't really matter. But I think they're in Georgia. You know, the internet makes it so that it doesn't really matter physically where people are. We FedExed CDs to them. So on Monday, they should get most of that uploaded to KGov, and we'll have quite a few of our archives back. And that's the explanation. Welcome back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYURT, 1-800-836-9278. going to New Orleans talk show host. In fact, Grant Storms has been on WSHO. I think it's 800 AM down there. One of the very powerful radio stations just booms throughout the far beyond the metropolitan area. And he's also a pastor. Grant, what is the name of your church?
It's called the Reformer Church.
The Reformer.
Yes.
All right. The Reformer Church. And so, Grant, things have been getting increasingly more despicable, more brazen, more public in the French Quarter. There's no end of stories about children who go to the French Quarter to be used as sexual props by homosexuals. That saga has gone on for years. We've talked to some of those kids after they've grown up on this show.
Exactly. And then, of course, this thing with Mardi Gras in the streets and the nakedness and the lewdness has escalated. But anyway, what we did with the video, Bob, is we took it to the media, and the media has been playing it all week, and they're outraged by it. It's got the city outraged by it.
Grant, congratulations.
Yeah, then we took it to the political leaders of the city, and they all week has been playing duck and dive and hide under their chairs and desk.
Yeah, what's the name of the mayor of New Orleans these days?
He's a new mayor, and his name is Ray Nagin.
Ray Nagin.
Yes.
All right.
And he started out with a city corruption cleanup, and he began to arrest some city workers who were taking bribes for giving out break tags and for extra cash and passing cars that had like a broken headlight.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty minor corruption in a city like New Orleans.
Listen to this. Then one of the council women, Jackie Clarkston, who organizes the Southern Decadence with the Southern Decadence Board of Directors.
Yeah.
That bring in these sodomites who have orgies in the streets.
Oh, great.
And we have the videotape of the orgies in the street. She said she's going to clean up the French Quarter. And you know how she started, Bob?
Mm.
She started by chasing out the homeless and the little black kids that tap dance on the street.
Right,
now,
right.
Now, whether you think that's right or whether you think that's wrong
right.
is irrelevant.
Right.
Because while she chased those people out, she allowed an orgy to take place for a whole weekend during this Southern Decadence, and she refuses to speak out against it and condemn these orgies.
Right. And Grant, New Orleans, the French Quarter, is really becoming the homosexual capital of the country, certainly that region of the country. And so, I don't think the city council members or the mayor will really care, but perhaps the pressure that you guys could bring to them could at least help us reach the people who are out there who could recognize gross wickedness, that it's accepted by our society. And so every time we fight a battle, we might not ultimately win the battle, but we get casualties on the other side. The other side loses individuals to our side, which is the Lord's side. So people, unbelievers, will see us fighting against this, saying this is filth, this is perversion. Ray Nagin couldn't give a rip. And so hopefully some people say, wow, a voice in the wilderness, and it turns out these people are Christians. So thank you for doing that. But I wonder if the city council will realize that, maybe they're going to lose revenue by getting a reputation of being the San Francisco of the Mississippi.
Yeah, well, anyway, here's the recent developments. This thing started on Tuesday. The news media has run with it throughout the week. But we still didn't get any feedback from the political leaders. So we called a press conference today in front of City Hall. Our purpose was to smoke these politicians out of their office and make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently we've had at least a minor degree of success. The mayor called me today and told me that he started to watch the video, but he had to turn it off because it made him sick, and he's going to do something about it. And then right after that, the captain of the police force called me and said, we're going to try to do, better, and I'm going to try to get both of them on my radio broadcast.
Hey, Grant, this is really, really exciting news.
Yeah, I think we could. I think we may have dealt a fatal blow to the Southern decadence, and then I think we are going to make strides here because the city that's been on the radio, I've been doing interview after interview on radio talk shows, and it's been all over the talk radio, all over the news all week, and the people of New Orleans are really rising up.
Yeah.
And it's really embarrassing the city officials. And now they're beginning to come out and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. We're going to do something about it. And we're demanding that they take steps, concrete steps, to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Send undercover agents in there with a video camera and handcuffs. Videotape them and then arrest them.
Wait a minute. The handcuffs, they might just think that's part of the show. So you might have to bring in a SWAT team with stun guns.
So anyway, if they don't do anything about it, we're going to call a national boycott of New Orleans.
Mm.
We're going to ask you and others to tell your people to boycott New Orleans, Louisiana,
right,
until the mayor and the police say we're going to eradicate the orgies on our public streets.
Public display of lewd sexual behavior.
And, you know, we've been fighting the homosexual movement down here for years, and they go up to the state legislature with their pro-homosexual agenda, and they say, you know, we're just law-abiding, good, decent, moral people.
Right.
Well, this video I have
shows otherwise.
Shows that all they're concerned about is sex.
And hey, Grant, maybe this is just an extremist. Maybe this is just one person on a back alley where if all the homosexuals that were there, thousands of them, if they knew this was going on, they would all condemn it.
Bob.
What?
I videotaped a man giving oral sex to two men. Okay, they're walking by like they're on a Sunday stroll. Hundreds of them are walking by.
Of course.
Like they're on, and then obviously.
Of course. Hey, Grant, this is so utterly disgusting. It's painful even to have the audience hear this, but it's so important that people recognize how filthy and perverted our culture has become, that these kind of things are paraded in the street, and there are not hundreds or thousands. There's countless tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands that would approve of this kind of public behavior all over this country.
Yeah, the politicians are very reluctant to come out and condemn it because the homosexual voting bloc is very large and they're very united and they have a lot of money.
Well, and it's not only the homosexual voters, but they have utterly intimidated many, I would say most conservative Christian politicians.
Oh,
have been
totally
intimidated. Right.
Including
George W. Bush, who appoints homosexuals to high government posts.
Yeah, and we had a discussion about that, and we had a disagreement years ago with Bob Dole. You were not supporting Bob Dole. I was, because I was saying, you know, we don't want to get Clinton in there again.
Right.
And I said, man, Bob, you're wrong.
Right.
But then the Lord opened my eyes.
And you realize Bob Dole was worse than Bill Clinton.
Bob Dole, because, right, if Bob Dole would have got elected, the church would have fell asleep, just like the church has fallen asleep with George Bush. They're thinking he's a good man.
Well, when you appoint homosexuals to, you know, ambassador positions and positions that are, you know, nearly cabinet positions, and they brag about how they reach out to homosexuals, George W. Bush, in those acts, he's doing more to undermine a Christian family's ability to teach their children the truth about homosexuality. He's doing more than Queer Nation ever could.
When Jerry Falwell says, you know, George Bush is a good Christian man and he's a praying man, and then they read or hear on a radio talk show that George Bush is appointing homosexuals, what does that say? It says Jerry Falwell is endorsing George Bush, who's endorsing the homosexuals, and so it muddies the picture.
Yeah,
we've got to raise the standard, Bob.
It's telling the kids who grow up in Christian churches and Christian families, if their parents say homosexuality is evil, and they see that their parents vote for and support George W. Bush, and he likes homosexuals and appoints them, gives them great authority, well, then the kids think that, you know, my parents, they don't know what they're talking about. My pastor, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's nothing wrong with homosexuality. And when kids begin to believe that, they've been inoculated against the gospel.
Well, when you talk about, you know, conservative values, and people say that George Bush is a conservative, whether it's fiscally or socially, they're deceived. Totally, utterly deceived.
Well, government spending has been going up faster under Bush than Clinton.
Yeah, and you would think, Bob, if he's a conservative, you know, the conservatives argued for 8 years that Bill Clinton grew the government immensely. So you would think if a conservative would come in there,
he would begin
to start cutting all that fat of Bill Clinton years.
Right, but
we
have increases on top of the Clinton increases. That's what we have.
And we don't even have the Homeland Security yet. Once we get this Homeland Security, that's 170,000 more permanent federal employees.
Hmm. Hey, Grant, one thing about Bush, and this is Grant Storms, talk show host from New Orleans, WSHO down there. If you ever travel New Orleans, what a great station that you're on, Grant. George Bush, as the governor of Texas, he loaded the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges.
Yeah. Well, we tried to warn the people. Matter of fact, I remember having you on right before the election, and you're in agreement with me and strengthening and bolstering, you know, the position I was trying to deliver to the people, because the Christians don't want to believe the truth.
Well,
like the
National Right to Life Association gave George W. Bush a 100% pro-life rating when he appointed almost all pro-abortion judges.
Three out of four. Absolutely. And then he took one to Washington with him, and I believe Al Gonzalez is going to be his first Supreme Court nominee.
Alberto Gonzalez, who was the most radical pro-abort that Bush put on the Texas Supreme Court, who voted that a teenage girl, a juvenile, has the right to kill her child by an abortion without the parents even know she's getting an operation. That's radically pro-abortion. That's not just pro-choice. That's rabidly pro-child killing. And Bush took Alberto Gonzalez to be his White House chief counsel, and according to Bush insiders, Gonzalez is the one that he wants to put on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, he'll be the president who put the first Hispanic on the Supreme Court.
Hey, Grant.
And then he's going to bolster his
We're going to the news, Grant. We'll be right back. Hey, 1-800-8-NUR is the call-in line, and not to confuse matters, but the order line is 1-888-8-NUR. 1-800-8-NUR and 1-888-836-9278. That's if you'd like to call. A gentleman called in today, I heard from our call screener, and where'd he call from? Connecticut, Massachusetts, I think. I think he called from Massachusetts. And he said, boy, I just started listening to this show, Bob and Yart Live, and I really like the approach, and it's conservative and Christian, and it's not weak, but I don't know what to make of this guy. And that's a good initial reaction to the show. You know, it's Christian, but not weak, because most of the church has been feminized. So it's Christian, but not weak, and conservative, and taking the ideas out of the Bible. That's what we do. If you'd like to know more about where we're coming from biblically, I had the opportunity to study the Bible for about a quarter of a century, and I put down in a manuscript the best job that I could do to present an overview of the whole Bible. It's called the plot. What does that mean, the plot? It's the storyline, the major events. And if you watch a movie, read a book, what is the plot? You know, most of us went to public school. We don't know the difference between the plot and the theme. I ask Christians, what is the plot of the Bible? And they say, God loves us. Well, that's thematic. That's part of the theme, God loves us. That's not the plot. That's not the plot. What is the plot of the Bible? What is the storyline? How do the major players, the major groups, fit into the storyline of the Bible? How do they? And it's really fun to take a step back and focus on that for a while. A lot of Christians dive right in. Before they understand an overview of the Bible, they start debating, say, predestination versus free will. Or they debate, can you lose your salvation, or is there a perseverance of the saints? Or are you eternally secure? Or is there a rapture, or is there not? You know, questions like that. Should you keep the Sabbath, or should you not? These are all interesting questions, and ones that should be addressed. But first, you owe it to yourself to get an overview of the whole Bible. You could do it on your own, or, you know, God-appointed teachers, we've got the plot manuscript, 1-888-8-NER. All right, Bob Enyart live, and I want to thank Grant Storms, pastor of the Reformer Church in New Orleans and talk show host down in that very wicked city. But what city's not wicked these days? But New Orleans is especially wicked. For a long time, they were the murder capital of the country, and that meant they were also the murder capital of the world for a while. But and they'd have police officers off duty, and they'd kill people. Hey, our phone number, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, and the U.S. is moving a lot of heavy artillery into position in the Gulf area. So it looks like, you know, things are happening. Things are happening, and we hope here at Bob Enyart Live, I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and at Denver Bible Church, we care about the Iraqi people, whereas there are liberal churches in Denver who, as best we can tell, they have, like, say, the United Methodist churches in Denver. They apparently don't love the Iraqi people because they'd rather the Iraqi people continue to live under the tyranny, the murderous regime of Saddam Hussein, and a complete lack of freedom. Well, complete, relative term. But you don't speak up against Saddam, you'll be killed, even if you're his son-in-law. So anyway, Saddam, you know, we'd like to liberate the people of Iraq. And if it takes killing their leader, Saddam Hussein, and a handful of the members of the Republican Guard. Remember how the liberals said that the war in Iraq would be a disaster, it'd be another Vietnam? And that they had the fourth largest army in the world. And Saddam was saying it's going to be the mother of all battles. And it turned out to be the mother of all retreats. They had soldiers surrendering to photographers. An AP, Associated Press photographer, he said to these Iraqis, he said, you can't surrender to me. I'm a photographer. And they did anyway. They surrendered to him. So, yeah. And you know what? The Gulf War, Desert Storm, that was with old technology. Did you know that? Desert Storm, that was with old technology. We now have good technology. I mean, that was a light year ahead of what we did in World War II. In World War II, guess how many bombs... How many bombs would we plan for one target to destroy one, let's say, a factory? How many bombs would we drop to destroy a factory? I'm asking my studio audience. There's mostly guys in the studio audience, and guys tend to be more interested in warfare. The number is 650. We would designate 650 bombs to be dropped on one target. And today, we use multiple targets per airplane. That's cool. That's cool. So let's go liberate some Iraqis. All right, go to the phones. Franklin, Indiana. Mark, speak your mind. Hello, Mark. Okay, Mark, I hear something in the household. So I'm going to – wait a minute. We've got a problem here. Hey, is this Mark?
Yes.
Okay, hi, Mark. Line Hello. Two, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was abusing some animals here when...
You were?
Yes.
Were you eating them?
No, I'm drinking some right now.
How do you drink animals?
Well, I'm drinking some milk.
Oh, milk. Okay. Oh, yes. Hey, PETA would be angry at you for drinking milk.
That's what I've been calling for.
Oh.
They made the news here today, or actually last night, late last night.
Well, I'm going to ask somebody in the studio audience to quick run out and get me a can of sardines. We've got 20 minutes before the show is over. Go to a neighbor, all right? Ask the neighbor. There's a Denver cop who's a neighbor. Ask his wife if they got sardines. Mark, whenever somebody talks about PETA on this show, Bob and Yurt Live, we encourage everyone to eat extra animals that day.
That's what I've been doing today.
You have been?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes. As a matter of fact, when I went to Taco Bell today, I even asked for extra meat.
Extra meat. You know, that's cool. But
yep.
One cow, I've heard that Taco Bell could get about 4 million tacos out of one cow.
Well, either way, I still wanted some extra meat.
I agree with you. But you know what? If you eat shrimp or look at this. We had a can of sardines, what, in a supply closet. All right, we got a can right here, Mark.
Wonderful. And hey, you take a bite while I take a drink.
All right, if you eat sardines, let me open this without making a mess in the studio. All right. Oh, they smell good. If you eat sardines, you have carnage in one meal.
Wonderful.
You could eat 6 or 8 individual animals. So what's up, Mark?
Well, they were in the news here today because I keep saying today, but it was last night.
All right.
That they were on IU University campus promoting a new ad that they're campaigning called Got Beer.
Got Beer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
I heard of that.
Well, they were saying the reason that they were campaigning down there is, one, is because this year IU is the number one party campus in the country.
Right, and they figure they don't care about – excuse me. Let me swallow.
Yeah, I'll take a drink.
Hey, Mark, my mother always said to me, Robert, don't talk with your mouth full on national radio. She always said that to me growing up. So, hey, Mark.
Yes.
They don't care about all the alcoholism on campus. They don't care about promoting that with their Got Beer campaign. They couldn't care less about that. They care more about sardines than they do about 19, 20-year-old young women getting wasted, ruining their lives, picking up venereal disease because they're drunk, getting killed in drunk driving accidents. What a shame.
The one statement that was reported on the news that really stuck out in my mind concerning all that was not only – about the Got Beer campaign,
yeah,
but also that the reason that they were doing it is because if we were to drink milk, it is a form of animal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So all day today, I've been abusing animals.
You know, that reminds me of, I'm not even going to get into it. It was another group complaining about chocolate milk, that chocolate milk was racist. But well, anyway, between PETA... In between the NAAA, where are you going to go for sanity these days? Hey, you know, here's the problem with the animal rights group. Jesus gave man dominion over the earth, and he said to Noah, and this is Jesus speaking to Noah, and he said, just as I gave you every green herb, so too I give you everything that creeps on the ground is good for you for food. And Jesus, do you remember... Were any of the apostles fishermen, Mark?
Yes. Peter was a fisherman.
He was?
Yes.
Well, Jesus certainly said to Peter, Peter, thou shalt go and fish no more.
He said, no, I will make you fishers of men.
Well, that's true. But so he must have told him not to fish because fishing is bad.
Well, then what about after the resurrection?
After the resurrection,
yes.
Jesus was in especially fine form.
Right.
So what are you referring to?
Well, when... before he appeared to them on the shore, they were out there casting their nets.
They were trying to fish.
Right.
And they were lousy fishermen, and Jesus helped them out, and they caught 153 fish.
Right.
And when they got to shore, what was Jesus doing?
He was eating.
He
also ate fish himself, too.
Well, worse than that, he was burning some of those little fish on hot coals. He was cooking the fish.
Yes.
And the thing is this, our culture hates God. They hate God, they hate the Creator, but they worship the creation. That's what the Bible warns us. Don't worship the creation. Don't worship the animals. Don't worship the trees or the bugs. Worship God. And if you elevate the rights of animals above where God placed them, then you are undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, for example, you know, abortion. They don't care about killing kids. These PETA people, they are pro-abortion. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
They're pro-abortion, which is killing kids. And when in New York City, some neighborhoods are overrun by rats. They're infested with rats. And so New York City have a rat eradication program. PETA protests. They say you can't do that. You have to give them Norplant and give the rats birth control.
It's terrible.
These are wacko people. Terrible. All right. Hey, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bob. And have a good night. God bless.
Thanks to you. I had some excellent protein here in these sardines.
I got some excellent protein in a cup right now.
All right. I appreciate that. Mark was drinking some milk. It's good for you. Let's go to Arvada, Colorado, 1-800-836-9278. Zane, speak your mind.
Well, hello, Bob.
Howdy, sir.
I didn't know that they were trying to give those rats birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just an amazing waste of money. Anyways, I was calling you the other day,
yeah,
and I was going to ask you about 501c3s, and it was appropriate at the time, and it's almost appropriate now because first caller was talking about churches not being so go-get them.
We're going to go to a break. We'll come back. Zane, we'll come back, and we'll go to you and your question about should churches be 501c3s. Welcome back to the commercial break. See, we don't really do a talk show here at Bob and Your Live. We just do one long commercial and we put show segments in between it. And the reason is because the materials we promote during the commercials, they're the same as the show. It's the same as the show. It's the same thing. You sign up for our monthly Bible studies. You get right now we're in the book of Romans. You think that Romans is just all make nicey nice? Paul says in Romans that homos should be put to death. That's theology for you. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, Paul says that the government should take swords and execute criminals and terrorize them. That's theology for you. So the reason we do the show is to reach out to as many people as we can, especially liberals, especially knuckleheads. You know, they deserve a chance to hear the gospel. And since they're so stupid, they're probably not going to tune in to a good Christian show. So we do a show where we eat sardines on the air to illustrate, you know, the Bible says that we should be Christ-like and Jesus ate fish. So we eat fish on the air. We've done a show for years that unbelievers get attracted to, and they get saved through the back door. They end up loving Jesus Christ because, well, they didn't want to, but they were listening to this bizarre show, and all of a sudden they realize that, hey, you know, God is real, and this stuff does make sense. And God must have made us, and I didn't come from slime. So if you call us at 1-888-8-NUR, 1-888-836-9278, you could talk to somebody here and tell us where you're at in your study of the Bible, what your interests are. You know, we've been doing this for how long? We've been doing this 4 or 5 months now. Well, we've been doing a talk show for over 10 years, been studying the Bible for over a quarter of a century. We've got material. We're just brimming. We're bursting at the seams with material. What topic interests you? If it's the law, criminal justice, government, we got you covered. What if it's sexual immorality? Right? How families, raising kids. What if it's theology, predestination, and free will? Maybe you're interested in the Sabbath. That's a fun topic. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. For those who tuned in last night, Doug McBurney was on because he was on Thursday night instead of co-hosting with me on Friday, because right now he's in Montreal. And I suggested that when he goes underground in Montreal, because the city that they have underground is awesome. It's absolutely awesome. If you ever go to Montreal, go underground. I'm not kidding you. You know, I don't recommend Christian teens go on trips together as a general rule because of all the trouble that they often get into, unless it's an extraordinarily determined leadership to make sure that the kids do not get in trouble. The average youth group stuff, forget that. But anyway, I went with an average youth group to Montreal, and the leaders said, well, kiddies, you can't leave the hotel at night. That was a good rule. And they were like milling around in the lobby to make sure we didn't leave. So you get in the elevator, and the elevator didn't stop at the basement. It went down five floors below the basement to where you get to the subway, and you take the subway all over the city, and there's huge, huge department stores, malls, theaters, restaurants, bums, drugs, whatever you want, underground in Montreal, so that at 3 a.m., my friends and I, we go back up the elevator to the seventh floor and get in our room. We never left the hotel. See, that's a normal Christian youth group thing. But, hey, I was an idiot back then. I was a youth. Now I'm the pastor of a church, and we don't have a youth pastor. Because who's going to chaperone the youth pastor? So anyway, we're going to go back to the phones. And now, for those in the audience, we've got Zane on the line, who's asking about the 501c3, which is the government's recognition of a church so that people who give money to the church can take a deduction off their income tax. And it comes with a lot of strings attached. Is that right, Zane?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, you know, and I do deduct. You know, what giving I'm involved in, I deduct that. But.
Well, yeah, because otherwise, like we have, you know, mostly we have poor people who give to Bob and Yart Live, but we have a handful of people who are real successful. And they say, well, if I'm going to give $1,000, if I could get a tax break, I could give $2,000. And so I want to be a good steward of the Lord's money, of my money. And so I'd rather give to a successful ministry that's winning people over to the Lord and discipling people, I'd rather give if I could deduct it from my income tax.
Well, wouldn't David say something about that in a sense? Roundabout way, he said something along the lines of, you know, he wouldn't give something to the Lord that cost him nothing.
Well, not that cost nothing.
Well,
but
it doesn't cost nothing, and I know because I run off.
No, if somebody
too, it's not the
is
same as not spending it.
Yeah,
but
if somebody's making $60,000 a year and they give $2,000, that's not costing nothing. The difference is it's costing them $2,000, but the other way, they could give the church $1,000 and the godless government will take another $1,000. So that's the issue. Now, the law should not be as it is. The government puts a gag rule. They've got a gag rule. They gag Christian pastors, right? They tell them that you could not tell people not to vote for Bill Clinton because he's a child killer.
Right, so, by name. That's what they say, is you can't use the name.
See, well, you can't even tell people to vote for an amendment that's against abortion. If you're,
I got a problem with that, you know.
I agree with you. That's you know, talk about free speech. Whatever happened to free speech? Liberals are such hypocrite liar dogs that they complain if an abortionist, they talk about a gag rule on an abortionist that he can't use federal funds to counsel for abortion, and yet 10,000 Christian ministers have this gag rule and they're scared to death to say anything.
We were talking about at my church, me and this guy was talking about inviting certain politicians to speak to the body, right?
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that his approach was that you had to give them fair and balanced, you know, equal.
That's not true.
Well, I don't know how it was, but it seems stupid to me to waste our time with people we know we don't agree with.
Yeah, but it's so fun. I mean, go ahead and, you know, invite a pro-abort to your church and then tar and feather him when he gets there.
Well, that's yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, that's a good opportunity to to let someone know that they're condemned.
Because
well,
then you're
child
wasting
killer.
Their time, like when someone comes knocking on your door. If you can take about 3 hours of their time, you just save your neighbors.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a great thing, and you can learn a lot.
That's right. Absorb those Mormons
that's
and those
right.
Jehovah's
oh,
Witnesses.
Stuff.
Just absorb them.
So do I gather that your church is not 501c3?
No, we are. We are, but the whole 501c3, our government has millions of laws. Is
yeah.
that true?
It's got to be true.
Yeah, we have millions of laws, and the vast majority are corrupt.
I would agree.
So you have to decide where are you going to fight the battle.
Okay.
You got to make that decision. Like they're killing kids at the abortion mill down the street. They're killing kids, and they're telling churches you have to incorporate, otherwise we're going to take more of your church members' money and taxes. So both of those things are evil, and the government is promoting and doing both.
Is the one possibly feeding the other, though?
Well,
I mean, why do you think they're trying to
definitely,
shut our mouth?
Definitely. The law, you know, it's all interrelated. The one about the churches violates thou shalt not steal.
Okay.
The one about killing kids with federal marshals keeping the abortion mills open, that's violating thou shalt not murder. So we have two of the Ten Commandments that are being violated by the government on these two issues. Which is a priority? Thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not steal? Which is a command of greater import, greater magnitude?
I think to save a life would be far more noble. But well, I'm not, you know,
well,
that's,
you're
that's
right.
one of those things I couldn't judge outright myself. Huh? Because if by chance we stop doing the way we're doing it in churches, maybe more people would be saved.
Oh, no, I agree that if
you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, right, of course. But just... Right.
Like right
if all
now,
the churches,
though, if I see someone with a gun to a kid's head out there in the street,
yeah.
and I do nothing, am I not committing a crime?
Right. Right. Well, the crime
is it
of
not the
apathy,
same thing as 20th and Vine,
which is a Planned Parenthood abortion mill here in Denver. The crime of apathy is a crime of hatred. God says to love your neighbor, and if you just stand by and let your neighbor's child be killed, and you do nothing because you turn your head and you look the other way. God in the Bible says then you share in the guilt, the blood guilt of that baby being killed. You share in that guilt because God says you can't look the other way and think you're not responsible. You are. And so we all, none of us, as far as I know, have the wherewithal to stop abortion in America right now. But also none of us have a carte blanche from God to be apathetic, that we don't have to do anything. We don't have to try to talk to our neighbors and tell them don't have an abortion, or we don't have to donate money to a pro-life group, or we don't have to go to an abortion mill and try to stop a kid from being killed, or we don't have to hold a sign once a year. We don't have to do anything because that's not my problem. God doesn't give us the right to be apathetic when kids are being killed in our community. So we have the problem of kids being killed, and thou shalt not commit adultery has been completely perverted and destroyed.
That used to be a crime, didn't it?
It was a crime for 4,000 years until in the 60s we decriminalized adultery in America. And thou shalt not steal. Well,
you know, Bob, smoking dope doesn't hurt you, though. It doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't do anything.
No, I mean, come on.
Right. Other than all the people that are killed from potheads every year.
What do they call that? Sorcery. It changes the way you think.
Oh.
You know? Isn't that how that works out? So now, since the 60s, these people all got their minds twisted, paradigm shifted.
Right.
Now we have these problems.
Yeah.
You know? And
Zane, to stay on point here.
Yeah. Sorry.
If a church says we're not going to become a 501c3 because that's one of a million lousy laws and we're going to fight that one, well, more power to them. Let them fight it as best they can fight it. And, you know, great. But there are a million bad laws. And so you can't fight them all at the same time. So you try to prioritize. You try to use your resources as wisely as you can and hit where it's going to hurt them the most. And so we hit at the child killers and at the homosexuals and at the pornographers and the welfare pimps. That's who we hit.
It just seems seems like there's a sense of solidarity among the churches, and they could actually say what they should say.
But there's
not. I
can't
even say what they wanted to say.
There's not. Churches can't even stand up against child killing. If the Christian church in America is virtually impotent on child killing, you think they're going to raise up and overturn the IRS regulation?
Well, doesn't that sound like, I mean, the same thing as saying they're pretty much lukewarm? They just,
absolutely.
They just don't care.
Yeah, no. And if you – right, exactly. If you took a Christian politician like, say, Howard Phillips,
okay,
who's a really neat Christian guy.
Voted for him before.
Yeah, he was in the Nixon administration, headed up a couple national government departments, and just a neat Christian guy. And you compared him, and I would say, remember Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold.
Well, that's exactly what he
said. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
Right.
Well, I would say Howard Phillips is hot.
Yeah.
And I would say Al Gore is cold. What's left?
Al Gore's cold. See, now I don't know how
if,
to think
if
about
Howard
that.
Phillips
I don't think of him as a Christian at all.
In the last election, if Howard Phillips was hot and Al Gore was cold, what's left?
Oh, you're talking about the in-between. Oh,
yeah, the lukewarm.
He's playing politics, though. That's got to be a hard job, but you're referring to Bush.
Well, I'm just referring to whatever's left. You're the one who brought up Bush.
Well, yeah, okay. That's
fine. Hey, Zane, thank you for your call.
You have a nice night.
God bless you.
Bye.
What a neat guy. You know, lukewarm is worse than hot or cold, because if Al Gore says, I'm going to appoint pro-abortion judges, no kidding. But if a Christian conservative leader says, I'm going to appoint pro-abortion judges and homosexual to high government office, then we've got a really big problem on our hands, because then even when we win the elections, we lose. So how do you ever win? You know, the U.S. Supreme Court, that's a Republican Supreme Court. Is that right or wrong? Who appointed the nine justices on the U.S. Supreme Court? Was it Democrats? No, it was Republicans. Seven out of the nine are appointed by Republicans, and that court is pro-homosexual, pro-pornography, pro-child pornography, pro-child killing, pro-socialist, pro-evolution. Wait, seven of the nine are Republicans. How long do we got to keep electing a Republican until we're going to win at these rates? This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.